Wonderful to be in the presence of the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. There is a special word that God wants us to press upon. Just to keep pressing on that special word. Not just tonight, but he's speaking a word now that will soon come to pass. And the people of God must arise and do what God wants them to do. Amen. Yeah. In other words, there's something that God wants us to do. It's not just to tell us, oh, we're in the end time, so and so is happening. God wants us to rise up and do something.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Before I go into the word that has been given, as you know, I don't really preach from script. I get the script from heaven. So therefore, heaven has shown me a little pattern that I should use. Before I go into the word, I want to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. For context, let us read verse 9 and 10. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power? When? I want you to notice that. It says when. That means two things are going to be happening at the same time. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Think about it. We are in the greatest and the worst religious city on earth. I don't even have to tell anybody that we're in Tulsa. The greatest religious city on earth. The city that has grieved the heart of God with religion. For everything that he has poured into the people of Tulsa has been changed into a religious exercise that has brought forth no fruit to God. Somebody said, but you're crazy. Look at the wonderful buildings. Look at the many thousands are going to church. I am saying not fruit to God. And that's the picture that God gives me tonight. What did God send Jesus here for? That we should have church?
No,
sir. Something has gone wrong because the people are enjoying. They're enjoying something that is not God. And they're saying amen, hallelujah, to something that is grieving the heart of God. Hallelujah. And God Almighty said he would call a people out of that last destructive church just before he destroyed it. Brethren, I want you to hear me. God is going to destroy this place along with the churches that have turned from God and produced nothing but religion. In other words, the great religious spirits that bind the people of the earth. The greatest is here in Tulsa. And from this point, he has been binding people all over the earth. They take it into Africa. They take it into India. They take it into China. Everywhere, all over the earth, they bind the people of God. And when you hear that so-and-so committed adultery, and this one committed sodomy, and so this great preacher has so-and-so. It is our fault. And I tell you why it is our fault. You should not be able to sit down and listen to a homosexual preach. Amen. And not discover and not the Spirit of God tell you that is an unclean man. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember one day,
Jesus.
I was sitting down with Fitcher on the television, and Jimmy Swaggart came on the television, and he began to weep in his way. Every time he talks about the blood of Jesus, he starts weeping. And the brother that was sitting down with me said, unclean spirit. An unclean spirit. It didn't go long before the whole thing was revealed. Amen. Hallelujah. I see the mighty, mighty prophet telling people about themselves, everybody giving your word of prophecy and reigning while he was living in homosexuality with a man. I am saying it is our fault. The church is dead. You are blind. You should not have been able to sit down with the devil and not discern it. Oh, I am. Yes. Hallelujah.
Jesus. Amen.
I learned my lesson coming up, you know. I was pretty young then, and I used to a religious practice. Hear this one. I read in the Bible how Jesus Christ rose up early in the morning and prayed. And so I said, well, Cecily's going to be like Jesus Christ. And he's going to raise up 3 o'clock every morning to pray. All right. That was the first mistake. That I decided to do a religious practice. Not because the Spirit of God was moving me, but because I wanted to do it like how Jesus did it. Amen. Do you understand what I mean by religion then? Okay. So I got up every morning to pray. This morning, when I got up, I heard like a rat or something run on the top of the bed head. And it stopped me from praying. Remember now, kneel down before the bed to pray. And I am alone in the room, in the darkness. I said, wait. You know what that? Satan's tricks. He first gets your attention. He first gets your attention. He got my attention away from my prayer. Now I am listening. What on earth is that? Now, while I'm there, he says, my son, I never got over it. The devil called me his son. Never got over it. My son, I'm listening to an audible voice in my room alone in the dark. My son, I want to tell you a lot of things about revelation. And he start revealing to me what Jim is doing, what David is doing, what Sister So-and-so is doing, and what this other brother is doing. And it's just like you'd have slander. You understand? Slandering the brethren. And I was excited. Guess what? I am going to be like those brothers in Tulsa now. I'm going to get up and point out this one. And point out that one. And can tell you your sins. And can tell you what you did this morning. And what you ate for breakfast. Wrong intention. Wrong intention. And no sooner than that happened, God is a merciful God.
Yeah,
he knew I was ignorant. And he shouted in the room, the whole room shook. Satan, You're a liar from the beginning.
Hallelujah.
When he said that, I said, oh my God. Oh God. How could you have done that to me? I'm turning on God now. Why did you do that to me? Why did you allow Satan to come in here and talk to me in the voice that I used to hear, God? You know what he said? He said, why did you sit down for half an hour listening to the devil and didn't know it was the devil?
Yes.
Come on now. I get hit right in here.
Yes.
You sit down listening to the devil and you don't know it is the devil. You have something in you for the devil.
Jesus.
Wrong desire. Wrong intention. Religious spirit. Want to be big in the church. To be able to prophesy to people. All that I wanted. And I was rebuked and shaken up. But then I learned my lesson. Now, what do I mean by religious spirit? First of all, the scripture said, we just read it, that Jesus is coming in his saints, yes, to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in his saints. That means that while we are in flesh and blood, Jesus Christ is going to come one day inside of his temple, and the people around will see it, the sign of the Son of Man in the heavens. Hallelujah. May it be sure. Don't you understand? Come back again. For years, I wondered what was the sign of the Son of Man. What sign was the Son of Man going to give that he is coming? He said he shall suddenly come to his temple.
Yes.
When God visited Israel, it was a temple that he came in.
Amen.
He didn't go wandering around the people. He came in the temple, and it was in the holiest of all of the temple. He did not come outside. One scripture said, and God appeared out in the open court, and everybody was dead. It was judgment. If God appeared in the outer court, we are all dead.
Yes.
God must appear in the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. Ha! Hallelujah. You hear me? And God came, hallelujah, into Israel in the same way that God is coming to us. Except he gave us a pattern.
Amen.
Amen. He gave us a pattern. Mary, a young lady who was prepared of God, and she became pregnant. She had in her the seed of Christ. What's that? God is saying that the church is going to become pregnant and have within itself your being, the seed of Christ, which at the fullness of time will come forth, and he will be glorified in his saints. Brethren, you know, I am not one of those preachers who you can't tell me that I'm wrong. I want you to listen as sons of God. Listen with ears that are anointed by the Spirit of God. And tell me what you said there wasn't of God. Yes. That's how we're going to grow.
Amen.
If you cannot hear God for yourself, you are just deceiving yourself. That is why the deception is so great. Not one church in Tulsa. No Jesus. What a terrible word. Oh, what a terrible. I will challenge any one of them. I'll challenge them right now. They don't know Jesus. Amen. I've seen many of the great men going on. I've seen all the churches, name them. And when it comes to the bottom line, they don't know Jesus. Hallelujah! In 1830, a man who could not discern between his bed head and his bed foot. Come on, that's Jamaica now. He couldn't discern the difference between his bed head. He put up himself. He is a great theologian. His name was Darby. You can go and read it.
Right.
Hallelujah. He brought forth a doctrine of the rapture.
Yes, that's right.
This thing was written by a Catholic priest and put in the library in London. He went there, picked it out, Irving preached it, and so on. So, and between Irving, Darby, and Scofield,
yes,
men who don't know anything about Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He gave us a rapture doctrine. And all the churches preach it.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yes. I heard a brother who used to preach on TBN. He got a revelation from God. And he came on TBN and said, the rapture is not right. The doctrine of the rapture is wrong. Off you go. They expelled him. Amen. I used to know this old man from Canada, this great preacher. And for years and years and years, in his old age, he rose up. The man has a church of over 5,000 people. And he said, God has revealed to him the rapture is all wrong. What kind of rapture? The rapture is when Jesus Christ grows in you to such a point that you are enraptured, lifted up.
Yeah.
Into glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Loose.
Hallelujah.
And so the false doctrine. Preach. All of them preach it. And all the churches are filled. The people are blind. They don't know God. Take any little sister. Go and preach. Praying before God. God would reveal the truth to him. To her. It is God's will. To reveal himself. Not only to you. But in you. That the glory of God should come forth. This is the reason why these people are falling. Oh yes, that's the reason they are falling so much. Amen. The great prophet, he was going to town. In Kansas City, he was going to town. Everybody started believing him. Amen. Brother Jerry Godwell had a little group up in Iceland, and the group the word he preached hit the brother who was the minister of the Assembly of God churches, and the man received the word.
Hallelujah.
And the man came out with all his flock out of the Assembly of God to fellowship with us, with Brother Jerry. Now the next thing happened. He had some sort of problem with the brother. And they got together and said, what shall we do? And one brother said, you know what you do? The great prophet, Brother Paul Kane, will be in New York City at such and such a time. I want you, let us go there and hear from the great prophet. Wrong move. No greater prophet than Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ said the spirit of Christ is the spirit of prophecy.
Amen.
And the spirit of Christ is supposed to be in the church.
Hallelujah.
If you leave Iceland and go to New York to hear from a great prophet, you are gone backwards.
Yes.
Old Testament.
Amen.
Old Testament.
Mm.
You haven't seen Jesus.
Amen.
Anyhow, this is a punishment. They came in through the door. And as they came in through the door, Paul Kane got up on the platform. And he said, stop there. There are 11 men from Iceland here. Please stand. Anybody in here can go verify that story. Amen. All the players in this are alive.
Amen.
You can go and verify it. Amen. He said, 11 brethren from Iceland, please stand. Now, how shocked would you be, brother? You're just coming in off the plane, walk into a meeting, and a man says, 11 of you are here, and 11 men stood up. They are taken. They are captured now, because they were prophesied to something that was true. But the devil knows that.
Amen.
The devil knows that. Amen. He's the one that set it up. So, he said, and I tell you what, you don't have to tell me why you are here. You are here because you've been fellowshipping with a brother in Iceland and a group. He didn't call the Sunlight Gospel name, but he said a group of people, and you want to know if you should go back to your church or you should stay with that group. He said, thus saith the Lord, go back to your churches.
No.
Lying prophet.
Amen.
Go back to a church that preaches rapture and full of sin. Hallelujah! Praise God. Go back to that church. Preach rapture, full of sin. Go back there and leave the revelation of Christ which was coming forth to them. And it broke up Iceland. Broke up Iceland. Broke up the work. Oh God Almighty, help us. Hosanna, hallelujah, hallelujah. Help us. And so he revealed himself to me. Another great prophet. And all of you are swallowing up his books. Swallowing it up, eating it up. One day they had a prophet's meeting and they invited me. I don't know why they invited me to a prophet's meeting. I'm no prophet. So I went. When I went to the meeting, I got up and I said, brethren, the church is going in the wrong direction. We are worried about building edifices, doing this and that and the other. And God Almighty wants us to concentrate and the Christ coming forth in your life. Let me tell you, brethren, if you had a temper and you are not getting rid of the temper, you are not growing in Christ. If something was wrong, not if, but something was almost always wrong with us, but we should see the improvement as the years go by. Christ is coming closer and closer, and we should see the improvement, and that heart of God should begin to affect you.
Amen.
All right. Come on, I missed my point here. We'll go back.
Whoops.
I would.
Whoops.
Yes. So I went to this meeting. And as I talked, this man couldn't wait till I was finished. He jumped up. I'm telling you right exactly what he did. He jumped up, he put his hand. I am a prophet of the Most High God. And when he said that, he started to tell them. He said, that man Dusil, he picked up some old teaching somewhere and he come here to pawn it off and you don't listen to him. I was so glad. I was so glad. I was so glad. Because he wouldn't deceive me anymore.
Amen.
I read his book and his vision of going to heaven and how the crows were bombing the people with feces and all that kind of mess and nonsense. And he was fighting and going up and getting higher, and how he met Paul and how Paul apologized to him. From hell. It comes from hell. But you all read the book. I tell you, I mean, I don't feel like putting this on here. Praise be to God. And that is, immediately, I saw the occult.
Yes.
Amen. And so somebody began to investigate him. And you know what they come up with? He's the Knights of Malta.
Yes.
Come on now. You don't know what Knights of Malta is? You have a computer. You, if you want to know, the Mason Lodge is one of the Lodge, Knights of Malta is higher. Higher. The highest lodge that they have. Knights of Malta. You cannot join it. You cannot join it. They have to invite you to be part of it. And this man is the Knights of Malta, and he's ministering. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and these men are becoming rich off you because you are ignorant. Jesus Christ died for you, and you'll be ignorant. Why are you ignorant so long? Why is the church ignorant so long?
Oh God.
Hallelujah! Bring one of those preachers into Tulsa tonight. The biggest auditorium here couldn't hold him. Hold the people who would be flooding out there. Amen. God help us.
Yes.
Joshua. Amen. Went to battle. Amen. And the Lord, I'm not Joshua, it was 300. Gideon.
Gideon,
300. 33,000? No. 10,000? No. 300. 300 men are going to fight against 30,000. God is trying to show you what kind of a people God's core, you hear me, is taking out a core out of the churches. True tribulation. True suffering. True being beaten around, being kicked around. True being hurt, being destroyed by friend and foes alike. God is bringing you into the reality of His presence. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Matikimoli, that you may know Him. And so tonight, the word that I received, turn with me to Revelation chapter 7. This foreword is to lay the foundation for what I'm going to show you. Oh, is the overhead working?
Yes.
You got?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Now we turn to Revelation chapter 7. And I want to tell you, brethren, we don't have much time left. We don't have much time left. God has told me that the tribulation will come to a blazing end in the year 2008. And you know that. And you know that every sign is pointing to it. And I've been preaching this for 7 years. That the tribulation, God says that there will be such a time on earth as never was before and never shall be. 40 years of tribulation. And 40 years will end in the year 2008. And in the year 2008, there'll be a great atomic war. What are you going to do? Sit down in Tulsa and wait until God starts judging Tulsa. You're silent. Thank you. No. After these things, chapter 7. I started the first verse's context. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. Yeah. Now, the word that God has given me, the seal of the living God. And we must be sealed. It's not a matter that you maybe you will, or maybe you won't. You must be sealed in order to belong to this company.
Yes.
Now, first of all, when I was reading it, I couldn't help but seeing how ignorant Christians are. Amen. How ignorant Christians are. A woman has a dream, and she went out and formed a church, and she called it the Four Square Church, up on the basis of a lie. Misunderstanding completely. Four Square Church, built up on the basis of a lie. And all the people who worship there never one day think, why is this church called the Four Square Church? Amen. The four beasts. She said the Four Square Church, the four beasts. The four beasts is a picture of the soul of man. The four beasts is the picture of the soul of man. Amen. Mind, emotion, will, desire. Amen. And she formed a whole church. And there are sensible men, men that I respect, who are still Four Square men. They never see Jesus. They never heard from him. Amen. So, you say, Seth is criticizing. No, I'm not criticizing. I'm looking at the destruction of the church and how the people have been destroyed by false teachers.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Why should you be destroyed by a false teacher when Jesus Christ came to dwell in you?
Hallelujah.
Why should a man believe in a rapture when Jesus dwells in him?
Jesus.
He's not hearing. He's not hearing Jesus Christ at all. And I believe that the people of the church are all mesmerized. The Bible said that Eve was mesmerized. Eve was deceived. And the people of the church are mesmerized. Why is it somebody don't pray and God speak to them and somebody don't see and rise up and say, wait, we are going the wrong way. Amen. Jesus Christ wrote in his Bible. He said there should not be an hierarchy in the church. Amen. Chapter 20 of Matthew. Jesus said, it shall not be so among you, brethren. One said he wanted to be to the right hand and the other wanted to be left. He said, no, it shall not. He said, the king of the world. Brother, if you have a business, you better take care of it and be the boss. You hear me? If you don't handle your business, you're not the boss of the business. And to handle it, your business will go to pieces. So that is the word. But when you talk about the church, he said, but it shall not be so among you. He said, but for he will be greatest among you, will be the greatest of the servants.
Amen.
And he said, who would be the great one? He would be a slave.
Amen.
They changed the word from servant to minister.
Amen.
Incidentally, the word minister means servant in Latin. But thank God Jesus never spoke Latin.
Hallelujah.
Yes. So when they came, the youth servant there, so when they came to slave, amen, they said, they used the servant and they turned it to minister.
Mm-hmm.
And then after they use, you come to slave, instead of using slave, they say servant.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, the word minister underwent, I'm telling you, I don't believe it's humans. I believe the devils
Amen.
Themselves sat down with the Pope
yes.
and did this thing.
Amen.
Yes. Listen.
Amen.
They're good friends.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I'm not afraid.
Amen.
No. The devil sat down with the Pope, I said, for those who didn't hear. and gave him this hierarchical setup that you have a pope who is Papa, the great father, men who God anoint. God anoint men in Tulsa.
Yes.
I used to work with anointed men. Then he took off and went to Rome and kissed the ring of the Pope. You hear me? All these men go out and kiss the ring of the Pope. And when you kiss the ring of the Pope, you acknowledge him as Christ. Vicarius Filii Dei, vicar of the Son of God, or vice God.
Yes.
Amen. He tell you, talk Latin and give you, and you don't even want to translate it. Amen. Vicar of the Son of God means to say he is vice God. It means he is Christ on earth while Jesus is absent. That's the title that the Pope has. And any time you acknowledge him, you reject Jesus.
That's right.
My God. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Now, let's go back on it. Amen. What stirred up that thought was just reading that the four angels stood on the four corners of the earth, ready to destroy the earth. Look, brethren, the Bible is a marvelous book, and every word is powerful and meaningful. This is why the Catholics changed the word to minister, then they exalted minister to be the head of the church, instead of, as Jesus said, he should be the lowest. Don't you understand? It what we call an etymological change. The word change over time, and come now, minister now is the one that wears the collar. He's the boss.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. He's the boss. He's not the servant that sweeps the floor. You see?
Right.
And when you go into a man's church, he's the boss there. You better obey what he says or he kicks you out. Mm-hmm. Amen. Or, you know, they have politics in church.
Oh,
he always have a woman. He always has a Jezebel. That she's the one that carries out his wishes, and she can work around and get you out of there in no time. Forgive me, brethren, forgive me. You know something? I wish we'd have some time for you to question me. Please. I wouldn't like to say one word here that cannot be backed up or cannot be, proven. Now, all right, four corners of the earth. The earth, amen, is round. It is round, basically. Could you show me the four corners? Can you show me the four corners of a round ball? Show me the four corners. I am ignorant. I would like to know if the Bible said the four corners of the earth, if we are going to take it naturally or we're going to take it spiritually.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. We must take it spiritually. There's no other way to go.
Amen.
And if we're going to take it spiritually, then we need to find out what God is calling earth. There are three earths in the Bible. Three things that are called earth in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Earth is terra firma, outside, dirt. And that is in the Bible. It said plow the soil, and so on. So it speaks of earth. Earth is carnality. Human carnality. Earthy. Earthy. Worldly. Amen. And earth is the soul of man. And the Bible speaks of highest earth. Oh yeah. Scripture speak of highest earth. It's talking about man. Man's soul. Highest earth. Now, the highest earth has four corners. Mind, head corner. Emotions, will, desires, that makes you, that make you function. And he showed the earth, tip here, there, four joined together. This, when one go, the other go. When one go, four creatures joined together. That means it's not four, it's one. And each one has the head of the other, the face of the other. So one would be an ox in the front and a man in the back. Other side, and another creature, and another, and four creatures. So each four is four. What is God talking about? Simply talking about human nature. That you think and it affects your emotions. Hallelujah. You think and it affects your emotion. You have an emotion and it affects your thinking. You have a desire and it's going to be fulfilled. God says, if you look at upon a woman to lust after her, you have already committed adultery in your heart.
Yes.
That desire is going to come to fruition one day. If you have it there and you keep it there. You see what I mean? So therefore, and it is the four corners of the earth, it's the four human elements that make man function. Now, what did he say about that? He said they were standing on the four corners of the earth, waiting to pour out destruction on the earth. Amen. You know, I shocked some brethren the other night because the thing shocked me too. We were talking about Adam, and God made Adam, and God made some things, and he created others. And I said, man make a car, but he create pollution. He never made pollution. He made a car and created pollution. But it was necessary to have pollution if the car must be run with an internal combustion engine, and so on. And then I said, God made man, and man made the atom bomb. And it's going to destroy humanity. Yes. So God is responsible for the atom bomb. For when he made man, he was going to give him the intelligence of both good and evil. Hallelujah! He was going to give him the intelligence to destroy the earth. And if God is responsible for the atom bomb, God must supply a cure for the atom bomb.
Amen.
Are you with me? Is that reasonable? Amen. Yes, sir. Hit me there.
It's you.
Huh?
You're the cure.
People of God.
Don't you see?
Yeah.
Now, read this chapter then. Read again. It says, they were standing on the earth to destroy the earth, but there was a fifth angel. Read the fifth angel. And I saw, verse 2, another angel.
Wait a minute here.
Ascending.
Oh, yes.
How come? Where's he coming from? Angels generally descend, right? This angel was coming up from the earth. And he was ascending from the east. Hallelujah. That means out of the mind of Christ. Amen? He was ascending from the east. And he cried with a loud voice. Oh, no. Let's go back. He had the seal of the living God. In the ancient time, Old Testament, Deuteronomy, somewhere 9, 18, something like that, God told the Jews to take the word of God, put it in a pouch, a black pouch, and put it between their eyes.
That's right.
And so, have you ever seen the poor Jews? Yeah? You ever seen them doing that?
Yes.
They were obeying the command of God. Put it as frontlet between thy eyes. Amen. And poor brethren, they didn't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. But then that thing must come to pass spiritually.
Amen.
Amen. You must be sealed.
Hallelujah.
Hear me, brethren. You must be sealed.
Yes.
In
yes.
your mind.
Yes.
Don't you understand?
Mm-hmm.
We go, we look at television. We look at the world. We go look at a show. We cram all kind of trash into the place where Jesus Christ should be.
Amen.
Cram trash into where Jesus should be.
Oh, yes, sir.
And then you say, well, you don't know why. You don't have the spiritual lift. Or you're not moving in the spirit. You're not going. It is because you have not done the simplest of facts. You have a child, and you know that you must send the child to school. You know that you must teach him certain things. You know that he must learn certain things. You know that you, to teach him, you have to repeat over and over until it gets into his mind.
Yes. That's right.
Amen. You have a different profession. 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 Each person has a different profession and is good at the things that he is doing. Isn't it your mind that you put to it and got it in your mind?
Yes.
So why is it so hard to believe that you must cram Jesus? Cram your mind with the things of the Lord and you will act upon it automatically when you are in trouble.
Yes.
You'll call upon the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So therefore the key to our behavior, the key to what Jesus is doing now is your mind. But there's something greater than that. Something greater than that. We have come to the end of time. And the four angels that are on the earth, ready to destroy, they are not going to wait any longer. God tells me they are going to be loosed in the year 2008. Now, I believe it. Whether you believe it or not, it won't stop it. It won't stop it. Your mind must reach a stage by next year, God's willing, that the power of the living God can move you through your mind and can come in, open the gates. Oh, yes. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. And be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in.
Hallelujah.
Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Unless we open that gate, unless we get serious with God, unless we cry between the porch and the altar, Lord God, let me have it or let me die.
Hallelujah.
Unless you get to that stage, brethren, you are not going to receive the mark, the seal Hallelujah. That God Almighty is sealing you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Are you waiting for Iran to build the bomb? America can't wait. Neither can Israel wait. Put yourself in the position of the president of Israel at this time. You know now that Satan has given a people the will to destroy you. One bomb in Jerusalem would finish Israel. It's a small place. One atomic bomb in Jerusalem would finish Israel. You would run every risk on earth to stop that. The first time when Saddam Hussein began to build the bomb, Israel sent over there and bombed him to a frazzle and destroyed the bomb. But now the Democrats are against it. And they are hindering every move. Amen. Every move. The president is a warmonger, and he's this and that and the other. What are we going to do, brethren? We have the power.
Yes.
Do you hear me? We have the power to pray and to change things. Amen. And that's why God put us here. If you weren't in Tulsa, maybe Tulsa would be destroyed already. If we were not in the world would come to destruction much quicker. But God is telling us, tarry not in all the plans, nor behind thee look on, never lest thou be consumed in pain. That the same situation with Lot, the same situation with Lot, is the situation that persists in the church. If they are blind, and they have been blinded by false doctrine, false teachers. I mean, I'm so ashamed. I'm sitting down at the television hearing a man bringing a good word of God. And I said, wait, he's going to preach. You know, I feel so happy. He's going to preach. And he turns the thing right over that everybody must give me so many dollars. If everybody here pays $1,000 and so, and that's what the preaching comes down to. Contaminated. The minds are gone. The devil is in control of the minds of most of the preachers. Oh God. Yeah. Hallelujah! Amen. You see, when I was sent out by God, I was an accountant and I could make a good living. I was making a good living. I was actually brought up to the head accountant for the extension services in the government. And Jesus came to me in the restroom. I don't know if you use restroom as your prayer room sometimes, but hallelujah. When everybody was gone to lunch, that's where I got a chance to pray. Went into the restroom to pray, and God shouted at me. And it hurt me, because I said, couldn't he talk to me nicely? But boy, I'm glad he did shout. He said, I want you to resign. If I just get this post as head accountant, if you don't resign, I kill you.
Mercy.
My God. That was terrible. That was terrible. So I realized how expendable I was. God would kill you and birth somebody else. Hallelujah. And so I am saying that the seal of the living God, what is it? What is it? All right. What was it to the priests down there? It was the word of God that they wrote it into a pouch and put it between their eyes. Amen. God Almighty said he must seal them in their foreheads. But something is peculiar here. Look with me again. It says here, hurt hurt not the earth, that means the power of the man. Neither the sea, that means the nations. Nor the trees, that means the Christians that stand up tall before God. Till we, what? We? One angel saying we? There is a secret. You are, you, the body of Christ, are, is that many-membered angel, messenger of God, that is going to seal the others in their forehead by the Spirit of the living God. How can you do that?
Hallelujah.
You say, but poor me, I don't know what I'm... When I come up here before you, I come up here with the intention that God would move me. If God never moved me, I would be in a bad shape standing here before you. You understand? So I pray, I say, Lord God, have mercy upon me. Amen. Have mercy upon me, you know. I'm not good. Amen. But I would like to bless the people that are coming here tonight. You know them. You see them. You know where they're coming from. Bring them, Lord God, and bless them. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And it is for your sake that I get the anointing. It's you, God, is anointing.
Yes.
For God wants to seal you in your forehead.
Amen.
Amen. Now, let me explain to you a little bit. God, I was going to draw it, but may it be a little inconvenient. God the Father. I am trying to think of God. And I am lost. Can't think of God. Because he is such a force and a power that he fills the whole earth. He's seen everything and all the dimensions.
Yeah.
Hear me, brethren. I look at this box standing before me. I see the top. I see this side. I see that side. The sister over there, she's seen something else than what I'm seeing. Amen. The brother here, he's seen something else. You are seeing something else that I can't see. Amen. So the body of Christ is supposed to be helping one another, because you are all seen from different angles. Amen. But what is God seeing? God seen the whole box, all the dimensions that all of us can see if we position in different positions. Plus he's seen the inside of the box. Plus he's seen the inside of the inside of the box. He's seen the atoms that make the atoms inside the box. And God has seen all things. What kind of a God is this? It's a God that I should fear.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, this is a God that I could fear. Because he's filling the whole place. There's no space that he doesn't fill. He filled heaven and earth. Hallelujah! So, in order to help us, he took a seed out of himself. Out of his bosom. And he put the seed into a woman. And it produces a man. That on the outside is a man, but on the inside is God.
Hallelujah.
He could bleed, he could feel, he could go undergo all the suffering that you undergo, and yet he was God inside.
Yeah.
And he said, this is the pattern.
Thank you, Lord.
When I made Adam, this is my intention, that Adam should come forth like this man. So that the first Adam and the second Adam come to save the first Adam. And so Christ now is no longer a person, a one person, but a many-membered body.
Yes, amen.
Amen. So that this many-membered body must move forward in the fullness of Christ and redeem the earth. Are you talking to me? Are you hearing me? To redeem the earth. For the earth Satan is going to make his play.
Yes.
And he's going to try to destroy the earth. Hallelujah. But God said, I will give power unto my servants. Hear me now. If Satan is going to destroy the earth next year, when are you going to get the power to stop him?
Yes.
Come on now. Year after next? You know, they said that I am gone local because I start preaching time now when Jesus will come. But blessed be the God Almighty, I feel Jesus coming inside of me.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Yes, sir. I feel Jesus coming inside of me.
Yes.
And the little bad ways that I used to have, I'm losing them.
Yes.
Amen. And I'm now sorry for them. If something like that happened, one of the bad ways come forward, I am ashamed. I'm sorry. So therefore, the Jesus inside of me is killing the man.
Yes.
The docile nature must go. Right. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 The living Christ is appearing in his body. Hallelujah. I hear you saying, oh, mighty Christ. Did you know what you're saying? Come forth in me. Oh, mighty Christ, come forth in me. Lord God, I'm asking Christ to just kill me and take over. When you see me coming, it's only the trash you're looking at. The Christ has taken over. That's what is going to happen.
Hallelujah.
But then he said at midnight, help me now, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom coming.
Yes.
What are we talking about? Midnight must be just before the dawn. I don't know if you understand, but in the seventh millennium, God said he would finish the work which he had made, and then he would rest. Isn't that what he said?
Mm-hmm.
He would finish the work which he had made, and then he would rest. Now, we are the people of the finishing time. The greatest people that ever walked the face of the earth. We don't think much of ourselves, but God Almighty knows that we are the greatest people that ever walked the face of the earth because he's giving us the opportunity. He's giving us the opportunity of being the army of God that will slay the dragon in the sea. Yes. The dragon must be slain. And God is allowing his church to rise up. We are nothing. You can't do anything about it, brother. Cleanse yourself.
Amen.
Cleanse yourself.
My God.
I'll ask God to kill all those dirty ways you have inside of you.
Yes.
Ask God to kill all the desires for things of the flesh. Yes. Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
Ask God to kill it. Mama
Hallelujah.
And as you ask him to do this, and as God begins to move in your life, you will get humbler. You will realize that you are nothing. You have to rest upon him. You can't do anything. Oh God Almighty, all those things, all those mighty ways that you had, you can't function anymore. God, it is you and you alone. It's only you, God. Hallelujah.
Yes,
only
God.
You, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. And the fifth angel rises up to seal the servants of God in their forehead. There's a ministry, a fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher, that must seal the people of God in their forehead. And it's a destruction. Just before the destruction coming, the sealing is now.
Yes.
Now!
Yes.
My God. Madania!
Yes.
We have no time.
Amen.
No. We must be sealed now.
Amen.
Stop all that you're doing. All the plans that you have. Go to God.
Yes.
Say, God, seal me.
Yes.
God, seal me.
Amen.
God, seal my wife. God, deliver us from ourselves.
Yahshua.
Help us, Lord God, to be like Jesus Christ. And we weep between the porch and the altar because it is dangerous, desperate, and terrible. Oh, yes! Hold back. Hold back, Iran. Yes, we can hold them back. We have the power. Hold back, Iran. Hold back the darkness, Lord God. Until we be sealed.
Amen.
The servants of God in their foreheads. Oh God, help us.
Yes.
Patience. Yeshikaba Shikaba. Yes. You know, I feel like I could stop here. Because I don't see anything else that is more important than this point. That out of the earth, coming from the east, will arise an angel, a ministry. Angel means servant, messenger. Will arise a messenger that will cry, "Don't move, Iran. Don't move, Israel. Don't move, America.
Amen.
Don't start this thing." Until we finish our job.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I tell you what. Personally, I'm not supposed to preach what I think. But I am going to tell you. I believe Iran has the bomb already given to her by some of Satan's agents.
Yes.
Amen. In the east and in the north. Amen. And that she is pretending that she is building a bomb now to deceive everybody. Amen. And that God alone can stop it. And I tell you what, if it is stopped, then the four spirits of destruction will be loosed. Abba! Ndaime! I'm going to show you where it will happen. If you turn your Bibles with me around to the same revelation here. We are talking about Revelation chapter 9. And I want you to look at 12. One woe is past. And behold, there comes two woes more thereafter. And the sixth angel sounded. The sixth angel sounded. And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, "Loose the four spirits, angels, which are bound in the river Euphrates."
Yes.
Let's see if we can understand what the scripture is saying. The golden altar is that stage in your human development where you must offer your soul to God as a living sacrifice. I don't mean get saved. I don't mean get baptized in the Holy Ghost. I mean doing what the Holy Ghost wants you to do. Because you know the reason why you were baptized in the Holy Ghost is that he will plant Christ into your being. And if you don't obey that Holy Spirit in you, you are a goner. I'm telling you something, I discovered something in my old age. Some simple little things. Simple things. You're coming out through the door, God say, take up that notepad and a book pen. And you don't do it. When you go outside there, you rue the fact that you left the notepad and the pen when you wanted it more than anything else. Just simple things like that. God is actually training us. Training us how to move in the Spirit. How to obey the Holy Ghost. Amen? Now, here it says that the voice came from the golden altar. That means to say, where you offer up your soul, the priest take the incense and he puts it on the fire. And he said, my God, for my sins and for the sins of Israel, he offers it up. And it go up to God. So God has accepted your prayers. That's the place where you offer up your soul. Ask God, Lord God, is there anything in me? Anything in me that is displeasing you? Anything in me that would prevent the fullness of Christ from coming into me? Amen. Now, the time has come. Now, God is not waiting on you. That there is a set time. He said a day and an hour. And a special hour, a minute in the hour of the day. No man knows. All right. And the angel said now, okay, loose them. Brethren, where are they to be loosed from? Can anybody else tell me here? They are bound in the river Euphrates. For years I couldn't find out what God was talking about. For years I could not find out what God was talking about. I say, my God, can spirits, demons, be bound in water, in a river? God said, no. Not the river at all I'm talking about. I am talking the lands where the Euphrates feed the river. Take out your map. Look at the areas. Zidane or whatever.
Azerbaijan.
Up there, one tributary starts in Turkey, and they all come together, all through the Islam lands, and they run down into the Shatt al-Arab. Brethren, what is God saying? I tell you what. He's saying that the nation of Islam, the nations of Islam, has moved so far from God that they have become the instrument of Satan. And that they want to destroy the world. That's what he's saying. If you turn to the 16th chapter, you see the same thing. And here, the 11th verse.
12.
Go to 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial. Remember, he sounded the trumpet and said, go ahead. Now he's pouring out the wrath. Sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof dried up, that the ways of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of a false prophet. They are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth, and out of the whole world to gather them together, the battle of the great day of God Almighty, Armageddon. Whereas people read this in time past, and it was something far away. We are reading like on top of our graves.
That's right.
And God is going to move his people. Just as he moved Lot, God is going to move his people. He that has ears to hear, let him hear.
Amen.
Keep anointed ears. Keep a willing heart. You might have just bought a lovely piece of property in the middle of Tulsa or somewhere else. God Almighty is going to move you. If you want, will, if it is his will that you should not be there. You know, because I remember in Hiroshima, there were some people who God told the women to have a prayer meeting that morning, very early in the morning. They went out in the basement and they were all saved. The bomb burst 1 mile, ground zero, 1 mile from that basement, and not a soul in the basement was hurt. You see, and there's some other mysterious things happened that half of the church left that night before, went off because of news they received of families dead and all like that. So God has a way to prepare and preserve his people. But I do believe that God is creating places of refuge. Yes. And that his people will be able to run together where they can stand together and pray. Because when we pray, things happen.
Amen.
So everything that has been going on to divide us, to separate us, to say you this and you that and you the other, it must pass away now. We must give up all that. For God wants these people to rise up and stand before the throne of God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to ask you if you have a few questions. If you have a few questions. I don't want to take you suddenly, so I will go on for another 5 minutes. While you think in your minds, if there is something that I said that didn't hit the mark of your understanding, well, God Almighty wants us to understand. Yes, no, we don't have a mic, eh?
No.
It's all right, good, okay. Speak up loud.
Yeah, the question I have is regarding Revelation 7:1. That the wind should not blow on the earth and the sea, nor on any tree. What is the purpose of the holding back of the wind, and what is the wind?
The wind is a blast of destruction.
Okay.
The atomic blast. I mean, I'll take one step further. The wind is that atomic blast which is designed in the mind of man to destroy the earth. And God Almighty is holding it back because of us.
Okay.
He would have done it long time, you know. The nations had their arsenals full of destruction long ago, but they couldn't use it. And right now, Satan is finding a way to get them to use it. And no matter what he does, he can't do it until they get the go. And we are the people who are holding it back. Yes, a sister behind you.
There's one other question here. Revelation 9:15, the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men.
Mm-hmm.
That third part of men, is that talking about body? Or is it talking about a number of populace of the earth?
Let's take it both in the natural and in the spiritual, right? The third part of man would mean maybe 2 billion or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. The third part of man, if you said it is just, the body is the third part.
Right.
Spirit, soul, and body. then all nothing would be left. if all of us get destroyed in our bodies, that's the whole revelation will stop right there. Thank you. So
we're talking.
We are talking about the
2 billion people. Then.
Yes. A third of men, and it will happen more than one time.
Yes, I was going to say it has to. If we understand this, then that's why why it would prick me. Mm-hmm. If we understand this, a day, a month, a year, and I've heard it said that that's 9/11.
Started. Yeah.
Okay. So
started.
It has to be.
Oh, it's just started.
Look
at what happened 9/11.
Yeah.
The American people rise up and they want to kill the terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's all happened. That's what caused us to be in Iraq. That's what caused Iran to be fired. That's what caused everything. And we are coming head on with Islam. You see, right now our people are saying that Islam is a peaceful religion.
No way.
It never started that way. It won't end that way. All you have to do, go down to the bookstore, buy a Quran, and read it for yourself.
Uh-huh.
And that's a settled matter. Yes.
I'm the one that gets the microphone. Absolutely. Of course. You know, the whole idea, you go to many different meetings here in Tulsa, and I've never been to a meeting where they said next year there's going to be an atomic blast. Just that idea is fairly jarring.
It's horrible. It's terrible.
Very jarring and very hard to accept. It's very hard to say, for me to sit here and say, yes, that's going to happen, because everything inside me says, oh, please, no. You know, everything inside me says, absolutely, and matter of fact, I can't even test to see if it's of God, because everything within me is saying, absolutely not. I can't even get to the point yet, I'll have to pray that through, where I can even sit down and think, well, could this be true? So I just thought maybe you kind of elaborate on that, just on the very frightening, jarring idea of something like that taking place.
Yes. Well, I agree with you. But I am not supposed to be giving my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So that is not an opinion. I had a vision. I was sitting at a table. I do not know if I was really sitting at a table, or if I had a lying down, or I was kneeling, or where. All I know, I was sitting at this table, and a man came through the door. And when he came through the door, I started looking at him. And in my mind, there was something about the man that I couldn't keep my eyes off him. So he came in, he walked across, and was like he was going through the door. And I said, sir, who are you? And he turned back around, and he looked me in the eyes, and he said, don't you know me? He said, I am your teacher. I said, oh, yes, Lord. He said, what do you want to know today? Do you want to know about the great atomic war that will occur in the year 2008? I said, yes, Lord.
Yes.
And somebody did something and got me out of the vision. Something dropped or something happened, but I came out of the vision. But when I was getting out of the vision, he said, I'll come back, I'll tell you again. So, I am a servant, just plain servant. And if I get something and I don't tell you, and it happens, I would never be able to live it out. But because I believe what I hear, God tells me that if I believe something with all my heart, and it is not true, He would correct me. He wouldn't allow me to go on telling you this thing. He would correct me. It's going to happen, sister. And I tell you what, when I see the signs around me, it's on the mercy of God that is holding back the thing.
Yes.
The United Nations inspectors warned the United Nations yesterday that what's happening down in Iran, the man said with 8,000 centrifuges, it will take 4 months to make the bomb. 4 months. Amen.
I don't know how long ago this was, 4 or 5 years? 6 years, maybe?
Yeah.
And this woman is a prophetess. And she began to speak out that it wouldn't be every city in the United States, but there was like 12 different cities. And Tulsa was one of those. She did say that. And it was because of the religious spirit that's over this city. Because there's so much pride and arrogance and conceit. And God would have to do this to bring the Christians to their knees.
Definitely.
That's what he would do. But anyways, she said, I see it. And it's this city. And it was like 12 different cities. It would go boom, 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 boom. It was like they would start setting it off. And it would, you know, remote control, whatever they can do with these bombs. They can get so sophisticated now with these things. And that this was already in place. It was already in place. And I know there are other people who pray a lot, and they've been getting, you know, that something was going to happen in America. Something
Amen.
Was going to happen.
Amen.
Something was going to happen. So I believe that that man who told you that was right on. Now, he didn't give you the specifics of it, but it was a warning to the church to pray.
Yes.
Because I believe it was prayer that day that averted some of these people from going to those buildings in 9/11. There were people that didn't show up that day. And it was because God warned them.
My nephew, his wife works in the building, in the police department. And she was late that day. She was coming in, and she said when she got under the ground there, she saw the confusion of people. And she just hopped on the next train and went out. And that was the last train that got out of there. The whole thing came down.